I'd like to introduce you to the principal and founder of Masterpiece Academy, Dr. Mella Davis. Thank you for joining us here on CWCP Radio.
Thank you for your gracious invitation.
How long ago was the school founded?
The school began in August of 2017. Actually, the vision for the school began in 2011 during a summer outreach trip that I took to Kenya. And I was involved in a church planting venture. And every afternoon, a group of us would go to schools and also share. And this one particular afternoon, I was invited to share at an all-girls school in Kenya. And the Lord asked me to ask the girls, it was about a simile of about 300 to 400 girls, how many of them believed they had the same worth and value as a boy. And about three or four girls' hands went up. And it was at that moment God said to me, this is what I want you to do. I want you to build schools to educate girls. So the Lord gave me the vision in 2011. By 2012, I had left the United States and all of my teaching engagements at the time in the States. I was teaching at Belhaven University part-time and then also working at high school as a department chair for foreign languages and teaching English. So I left all of that behind and came to Worcester, South Africa, and took a course called SOAP, the School of Apostolic Pioneering, to help me get a vision of how to put the school on the ground. And from there, I established Teachers of the Nations, which is the ministry arm under which Masterpiece Academy sort of lives. Began working with girls in Avian Park with the eye to eventually opening a school, a boarding school specifically, that would take girls out of impoverished townships and educate them. And Masterpiece is basically the first step in that.
Was it difficult to turn the vision into reality? What sort of challenges and hurdles did you have to go over?
Anytime God gives you a vision, there's an idea in your head, but the idea coming to fruition takes a great deal of work and perseverance. And though I'd lived and visited 37 other nations before coming to South Africa, I found that South Africa was definitely a different kettle of fish. And all of my training in anthropology and ethnography really couldn't help me transition and understand the culture and mentality of the people I was trying to reach. So I would have to say that the initial first 3 years was simply trying to make peace with how things are done in the nation, and then also making connections with people, establishing relationships, and getting a firm foundation in the communities in which I was working. And then once that began to bear fruit and discipling of the girls became, the fruit of that became more evident. You could see the maturity in the girls. That then sort of released me to be able to look into opening the school.
Now, the school isn't just for girls.
It was initially intended just for girls. And then we started getting requests from parents of boys. And initially, I was like, well, how is this going to work? Because the Lord told me to build the schools for girls, and now here we've got boys. And then in the end, I said, well, it's God's school. And often when we get a vision, we don't have the whole vision. I think that eventually what will happen is that there will be two schools. And I've sort of always kind of known this, that there will be two boarding schools, just as it was when I went to Kenya. I spoke at both the girls' school, which sat next to the boys' school. And so the hope is that eventually someone else will rise up and open up a boarding school that will house boys. And it's interesting you mentioned boys, because when I went from Avian Park, which is where the ministry initially began its outreach, and then I went to Riverview, that also was only supposed to be girls. And as I was ministering to the girls inside of the Chip Ross building, the boys were outside throwing rocks at the windows. And when I went out, and I'm like, why are you throwing rocks? And they said, we want to be discipled too. Why can't we be discipled? Why isn't anybody reaching out to us? And so I ended up having to speak with the board of Chip Ross because they said, you know, Dr. Davis, you told us your ministry was to girls. I'm like, about that. That was the intention. But I mean, Jesus never turned anyone away. So, yeah.
How do you go about finding teachers and teacher assistants and staff?
You know, Masterpiece Academy is ultimately God's school, and we, or I should say, I really try to listen to Holy Spirit and look for people who have a heart not only for children, but individuals who listen to God and put God first. And so we've had a few people who've come in and left, but I believe that the team that we have presently are individuals who have the best interest of the children at heart and are also concerned about their spiritual discipline and also character development. That's very important. Where God commands the blessing is where there's unity. And so a team of individuals who are first committed to Christ and to the children really make for the best kind of team members to have.
Yeah, but how do you find them? You don't advertise on Gumtree or something.
No, there's no advertisement. I basically allow the Lord to bring people to me. A lot of the, for example, some of the people are volunteers with the Youth with a Mission organization. Some are affiliated with IRIS. Some have come by word of mouth. My administrative assistant is a member of Avian Park. She lives there. She's a resident of Avian Park, and she was referred to by a mutual, we call ourselves YWAMers, a mutual YWAM member. And so that's how she came into being. And other things is just serendipity. It's just a godly favor. Our German teacher is a retired teacher. She taught 31 years at a local high school, and one day we were in the pool doing water aerobics, and she just offered to come and teach German for us.
Now, here's probably the main question that's on my heart. How do you view the potential of a good education for township children?
Education plus Jesus is freedom. Without a good education, one can go nowhere. And I'm a product, not of the township, but certainly a product of a family that came from a poor background. My mother's family were sharecroppers. They picked cotton at various points. My mother worked as a maid. She taught as a special aid assistant, and she was 50 when she got her teaching degree and taught until she was 72. So my mother always stressed education, and of her children, there's myself. I hold a doctorate. My sister is a clinical psychologist. My brother has a master's and is a teacher. So we all learned that if we wanted to escape poverty, we needed a good education and we needed a deep foundation and love for Christ. And I don't feel that it's any different. The same sort of social ills that surrounded me surround these children. And it's equipped me to be both empathetic, but also persistent in my demands for excellence. Alcoholism, spousal abuse, various sorts of addictions, abject poverty, none of these things are new to me. And yet, I've seen success when one walks closely with Jesus and one puts education at the forefront of one's efforts. Unfortunately, in many townships, there's overcrowding in schools. Many children arrive to school hungry, cold, ill-equipped in terms of clothing or school supplies. And all of these detriments detract from the child's ability to learn and retain even what they're hearing. At Masterpiece Academy, you have such a small teacher-to-student ratio at times. It's literally one-on-one, so that individual attention can be given to the child's emotional, spiritual, and intellectual needs. Now, of course, such things are not possible in a larger school, but there are some changes that can be made to sort of maximize how children can grow and learn, even in a township school. But the thing that's most important in terms of education is not just for the individual child, it's for the nation. God has gifted each child uniquely to solve the world's problems. And if those giftings are never matured, and if the child never reaches his or her potential, ultimately, it's not just the individual child who suffers, it's all of society. And so when you draw out, when you pull out the giftings that God has put in an individual, it's not just for that person, it's for the larger community, it's for society. What we do on a micro level affects us on a macro level. It affects us on a larger level of society. And I remember when I was a child, there was a commercial that would come on for the United Negro College Fund. And it would say, a mind is a terrible thing to waste. And when I go into these townships and I see these children, I think, Lord, how many of these minds are being wasted? Who is the next Einstein that's sitting in this classroom? The next Marie Curie who's sitting here? And they'll never know it. You won't know it until you get into eternity and see you walk down road A, but originally God wanted you to walk down road B. And there's so many children walking down the same poorly chosen roads of their parents and their grandparents, and Masterpiece Academy and Teachers of the Nations tries to circumvent that.
You've got a good online presence. You've got various sites. If somebody wants to go to the right starting point, where should they go on the net?
Well, they can start with the Facebook page. I think it's very user-friendly. It's Teachers of the Nations and Facebook. Also, Masterpiece Academy has its own Facebook page. And then you can go to the World Wide Web. Our website is changetheworldeducategirls.co.za. And you can see the things that we do within the community as well as the work that we're doing at the school.
Looking back, are you seeing the results that you hoped for?
Well, I'm going to say it's not what I thought. I mean, I'm very strategic. And when God told me, I want you to do this, I figured, one, I will come and I will meet the people. Two, I will build the school. Three, we will get the money. And whatever. And so none of that has occurred in the order that I thought it would occur. However, I realized there were bigger, quote unquote, for lack of a better phrase, fish to fry. When I got here, I was not aware that South Africa was at the bottom of elementary education, like 138th or something like that. The numbers have changed since that time I've come. Or that teenage pregnancy was so prevalent. 35 to 38% is the national average. It may have changed a bit. So when I got here, I realized, forget trying to build the school. We've got to stop the hemorrhaging. So I think the initial beginning years was just doing triage. There was just so much bleeding going on. You know, children having children and starting the poverty cycle all over again. Those issues had to be addressed and dealt with. And as we begin to get a generation swimming in the opposite direction, finishing their school without getting pregnant, then we could start talking about, okay, now that we've got some models, role models for the girls to follow, now we can reach back into the younger girls and start educating them and giving them a solid foundation to go on to university. Yeah.
I think you've said it all. Mela, thank you. My guest has been Dr. Mela Davis, who founded Masterpiece Academy here in Worcester, Western Cape, South Africa, and it's been my pleasure and privilege not only to interview her, but also to be working with her at the school these days.